This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik. And for the final week of his 105.3 The Fan career, it is Reginald Atitula. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Yo, you don't know that it's his final week of his career at the Fan.
That's a good point.
It's like when Eric Nadel says they're down to their final strike, and I'm like, but what if they get a hit, and then they're going to have three more strikes at least?
For the time being, until he decides to end his successful Houston run.
Or die.
Oh, my God.
We all die. It happens.
The last week of Reggie at the Fan. Hey, guys.
What?
Reggie, I don't know if you've heard, you're leaving us.
Oh, my goodness.
And a lot of people are sad about it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that?
Thank them for their kindness and concern and things of that nature.
Concern?
And try and do the best show that we can for the week.
Is right? Their biggest concern for you that you have to live in Houston? Is that what it is?
That's what it sounded like for a lot of folks, which don't worry about it. I already have experience in that regard.
He does have some experience there. So that is a thing. What is their,
go ahead.
What's their expectation for you that you're going to be successful? Everything's going to work out for you though?
I imagine. I feel like when you hire somebody, you expect it to work
out.
Not
the people that hired you, the fans, the Tolos. Those are the people that matter, not the people that hire
you. I think I'll
be
dead to them, honestly.
Oh yeah, that makes sense too. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, here comes Mike to dunk on the Cowboys.
Not dunk. Did the preseason game go so bad that on ESPN right now they're showing highlights of the Packers destroying the Cowboys in the playoffs and they're already putting Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year?
Because that's what Asante Samuel said. And every day, every evening, they're like, please God, somebody just say something about the Cowboys. Like you could, if you're a former player or coach, that'd be great. If you're even kind of connected to the NFL, that'll work just fine. Please say something about the Cowboys. And he did. He's like, I think Bill Belichick is going to coach the Cowboys next year. And they were like, yes, we got a bunch of segments taken care of.
So that is still one of my questions. I think I've asked you this, Kevin. Is that going to be over Mike McCarthy's head all season long?
See, I think it's
the first preseason game and it's being brought up.
But I also think that would be the case if he had like 2 or 3 years left on his deal. I think this exact same conversation is happening. I don't think it's
happening.
Why not
Sean Payton?
I mean, because he's doing so great.
Yeah, but Jerry could go get him. You know, he could just go trade picks.
Because he's
him.
The same as Mike McCarthy.
I just came up with Mike likes it. I've been thinking about this for a while.
Nice.
Mike likes
it. 40
yes.
Minutes.
At 12:45, I'm going to tell you who I think the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys will be next year.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Can you just talk about the Dirk thing instead?
No. I think that this will be, I'm going to tell you something. I think you guys will be entertained by this. And I think that there is a strong possibility of this, and nobody has brought this up. Literally, I will be the first person to bring this up, I think. Unless
I know what it is.
Okay.
Because
I've told you before what I think, who I think the next head coach will be. But it's 12:45, and I do think that this is a strong possibility.
Is he suggesting that Tom Landry has been frozen all this time?
I can't say until 12:45. I know the answer.
That's my guess.
But I can't say.
That's my guess.
One way or another. Let's go to cut number one. And hey, the offense did some stuff.
Now Lance in, Cooper back to throw, deep ball left, Jalen Brooks at the 15-yard line. One-on-one coverage by Cameron McCutcheon, a rookie, and Jalen Brooks with a big play, and that's 43 yards and a first down.
43 yards right there. Now, if you cared, which maybe you do, the Cowboys lost to the Rams 13-12. In the preseason opener, they have not won a preseason opener since 2017.
When was the last time they scored a touchdown in the preseason?
Hey, Brandon Aubrey looks good.
That was expected, Kevin.
Eric Scott got an interception. Jalen Brooks made that big catch right there.
Brandon Aubrey should get the Brian Anger treatment next
week. How did
week.
We punt?
He didn't punt. Brian Anger decided to take the week off.
We went for it on fourth down every time.
Oh, no. Tommy Townsend was kicking the mess out of that ball.
Tommy Townsend was the guy. But we did go for it a few times on fourth down. That is true.
So my question, and I feel like Corey is not going to feel great about this. Cowboys, if any, earned a spot on the roster thanks to their preseason performance against the Rams? And this is, of course, Cowboys who you didn't already think were
okay,
because
I was
going to
say, like, Cooper Beebe was really good. But I already considered him on the roster. Okay, all right. So these are guys that weren't probably on the roster for you.
Eric Scott got an interception.
Eric Scott, he also got picked on a little bit and had the dumb play where he had the penalty for hitting somebody out of bounds.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett went after him a few different times and was successful there. He wasn't as sticky as I wanted him to be, but he was physical, and then he did get the interception. That's one of those questions where I'm like, okay, was that good? Because that's a very competitive position. Like Butler. Butler had to play down the sideline. It was the kind of the Jalen Brooks 43-yard play that we saw too, where I thought it was a pass interference. They didn't call it. He got his hand right over the shoulder, right underneath the neck, and made a good play there. There was some really good play from the cornerbacks in this game. So I thought that there were a lot. I don't think anything was resolved in the backup cornerback area for me, Kevin, because I think everybody was pretty good.
Were you fascinated at all to see our guy T-Billy on the kick returns? Because, look, we have been advocating for him making the team. I understand from a numbers point of view, it could be tough for him to make the team outright as a wide receiver. Did that pique your interest at all? You're like, hey, maybe this is the way he figures it out.
Before we answer that, I did watch the first half.
Okay, well, what did you think?
Here's my question based off of what you just said about T-Billy. Do you think the majority of teams are just going to kick it out of bounds or kick it through the end zone and just start at the 30?
Fascinating. Yeah, I have a lot of questions about it because...
But that's what... When I saw the first half, I know that's not answering your question, but it feels like maybe teams are just going to be like, we're not going to try to hit it in this zone. We're just going to start on the 30.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Chiefs are still figuring out. Please tell me you saw that.
No, I did not. I know the Chiefs and Jags.
they like kind of grabbed the ball at the one and then took a knee, but he was in the end zone, and so it was a safety.
Oh,
and
awesome.
So, like, not everybody has gotten the rules figured out.
My Duncanville guy, I think Barry Foster, by accident in the early 1990s, he went to Arkansas. I remember asking Stephen Jones about him as a teammate. He's like, Arkansas's best player. He's like, I don't even remember who I'm talking. I was like, were you even on the team in Arkansas? Like, Barry Foster was your best player. Barry Foster forgot the rules and thought it was more like a punt and it was a kickoff and let the ball roll into the end zone and thought it's a touchback, like a punt, except the other team went down and got the ball and they're like, touchdown other team.
I saw...
Go ahead.
Just as long... Hey, hold on. One more thing, Corey. I was at a Fort Worth Nolan John Paul II game once and it was like 42-0 in this John Paul player.
Because John Paul was up so much?
No.
All right.
And this John Paul player fielded a kickoff at the 5, saw there was no blocking for him. He backed up into the end zone and took a knee, which is obviously a safety. And then they threw a flag and said Fort Worth Nolan was offsides in the kickoff. And I was like, what? That was like 15 seconds ago.
Dude,
they had to bail that kid out.
That's also how I felt at the end of the first half. I was like, come on, just end this first half, please. T-Billy, yes, Kevin, but I also was sad that I didn't see him enough on in the like
Fair.
Getting actual offensive snaps.
Fair.
But I feel like maybe they were like, look, we got this Brooks kid that we drafted that was been on our practice squad that we wanted to see how he does. We got Cropper doing well, so we want to see how he does. Maybe it just wasn't available to him. Maybe they were like, Trey Lance, who are the dudes that you trust? And then we're going to give you an opportunity to work with these guys the most, even if you're not going to throw to them and you're barely going to get the ball to Rico Dowdle out of bounds over here or Malik Davis. But it was, I felt like I wanted to see more of him in the offense. Maybe that'll happen next week.
Is it weird, and maybe it's because you gave up something for him, maybe it's the position. Is it weird at a time where we're like, man, you're going to maybe get rid of some players you really like, that it feels like Trey Lance is on the team no matter what? As your third quarterback?
Yeah, it is weird that you're basically like developing a quarterback in real time who's had a chance, was a first round pick. But like, well, that's always been said. Those guys will continue to get those opportunities because of where they were picked, because somebody saw something in them. Jerry Jones says this all the time, doesn't he?
Sure.
If you've seen them do it once, they can do it again. And they have a history of taking former first-round picks and using them and getting them to something. I think, Kevin, honestly, what Trey Lance did or did not do on Sunday was probably the best thing for him.
Okay.
It was neutral.
Okay.
It was nothing flashy. And if it was flashy, what would we be arguing about today? Hey, man, he looked really good. And then people would go, it's a preseason game against third stringers. And so there's no controversy there. He didn't make any like real poor mistakes where he threw lots of interceptions or anything. He was just a mid quarterback that still has work to do. He looks like he's a training camp quarterback.
He didn't throw the ball very far either.
He didn't. I don't know why he didn't uncork it. He never did uncork it and let it go. And I was kind of upset about that because he's got a big arm. Even when he had the chance, Mike McCarthy was like, just throw the ball down the field.
Yeah,
just the Hail Mary right here. Just throw it down the field. He was like, check down, baby. And I was like, I don't know, man. So, yeah, I would like to see a little more of that.
The old Alex Smith game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe he can run for 65 yards for the touchdown.
What about the first play of the game? Rico, like for 8 yards.
That was good.
Running game solved.
I'm not lying. Rico Dowdle looked pretty good.
I'm sorry.
See, he looked pretty good on his carries.
Negative Bassick on the Cowboys again. One less yard.
Who was that? That was right behind. That was right up Brock Hoffman's backside, too. So, what?
Hey.
What? How else are you supposed to say that? He went. He found a hole, but he also was following up the middle on that run. So that was nice.
I don't like it.
I think you made it worse.
I forgot how little Malik Davis is. Is that his name? The number 34?
Yes.
He looks like when we were running those two guys, and I get Zeke's going to be the main running back carrying the ball 15 to 20 times a game, but when those two guys were running, I was like, oh, crap, they're smaller than what I remember, which I don't know if that does that mean anything. Maybe no, they're not obviously as small as Deuce, but like I was like, oh, they're like little backs, huh?
And you know what's concerning to me is what people think is going to fix this, because I was talking with somebody, a couple of people at FanBowl, and they're like, no, I heard they're about to get Dalvin Cook. And I'm like, okay. Dalvin Cook was not good last year. If you're like, trust me, though.
Adrian Peterson still available?
He's going back, probably.
Could you imagine if we had Adrian Peterson and Zeke Elliott as our 1-2 combination?
I'm not going to lie. I would be oddly intrigued to see how that would go. I know in my heart of hearts it would go poorly, but I would kind of want to see it.
Let's do it.
Did you feel good about the defense? Because on one hand, if we're like, oh, the offense looked bad, it's a preseason game. Did you feel good about the defense, though? Because you're like, I know it's a preseason game, but man, the defense looked good.
Yes. There were things I liked about the defense and things I also did not like about the defense. Behind Marshawn Nealon and DeMarcus Lawrence, I don't know if we have any defensive ends that I trust right now. There was zero pass rush throughout pretty much the entire game. Now, whether or not that's by design or what, who knows? But I like Nealon. I thought he was pretty good. I thought Mazi had a pretty decent game, too. Chauncey Golston, Kevin's favorite player, looks really like he's excited to be out there and play.
That might be the difference for him.
DeMarvion Overshown gave us exactly what he gave us in the preseason last year. And so, Clark was flying to the ball, too. I thought the defense, the way that this defense is going to be constructed, very sound within its scheme, go do your job, That's it's going to be a pretty good defense whenever all the rest of the talent's out there, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, our new Olympic segment, Conundrum. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night, night, night!
Curry, unconscious in the fourth.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan, where I believe this will be our final newly named Olympic segment. But if you have more names, maybe we can expand this out even further. Today's segment, Conundrum. So, Corey, I know you're a big fan of that one. Let's start with men's basketball. United States wins 98-87 over France, takes the gold medal, played the highlight of Steph. He was outstanding. 4 3-pointers in the span of 2 minutes and 11 seconds to close the game out. How invested were you guys in, I want to say, both the men's and the women's finals? Because the viewership was the best since the gold medal game in 96, 19.5 million viewers. Now, I realize it's a one-off game, but I just wanted to compare that to the NBA Finals. NBA Finals had 11.3 million viewers.
Like worldwide? On average or less?
No, on average. Okay. Oh, my God. If that was all for all five?
No, I did not all five. Yeah. I just didn't know like a specific game.
On average, and I realize this was a less competitive than desired for NBA Finals series, but 11.31 million viewers for this last NBA Finals and 19.5 million for the gold medal game. So best basketball ratings since 1996. So it feels like people were super invested. I have to admit, I was invested in both this and the women's basketball final quite a bit.
The women's basketball final, I watched probably the first half of it, and then I had to run a couple errands, step out for just a little bit. But it was fun. And then I got back right at the end of the game, and I was like, oh my gosh, this game's really close still. I expected them to stretch it out at some point and get away from them. But it was a lot of fun. And Asia Wilson's just really, really good to watch. The men's final, Kevin, since we were at Fan Bowl at Hurtado Barbecue.
Yes.
Fantastic barbecue, by the way. Maybe the best in DFW. You want to go ahead and say that? Let's go ahead and mark it down. The I didn't see any of it until the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds of Steph. I walked into the little bar they have next door. And I walked in there. Everybody's in there. Dawson's in there. Everybody's in there watching the game. Not you, Kevin. I think you were outside still doing your job.
I recorded the game, too.
We were sitting there watching, and just Steph's just unconscious, throwing the ball up from everywhere. And I was like, this is amazing. He's yelling at the crowd, I'm him, and everything. And it was so much fun.
Man, not the best thing anyone yelled out to the crowd.
But it was
not the Red Sox thing. I was talking about Asia Wilson and her post game. I didn't ask for that audio because it's probably not the best, but man, we'll get to that in a minute. I was super invested in this, and I love Tyrese Halliburton's tweet after the fact. Did you see this, Mike?
Yeah, I saw that because he didn't play in any of the games. He was like, hey, he got a gold medal. And
he goes, when you ain't do nothing on the group project and still get an A and still that has 672,000 likes the last I saw. So it's gone everywhere. I thought that was a really fun way to put something out there.
Yeah. And he was a great teammate.
Yes.
During this. And it probably has to be tough for a lot of stars for the United States. I don't think anybody else has to deal with this. No other country has to deal with, well, I'm a great player in the biggest league in the world, the best league in the world, and I don't play. Like all Serbia, France, like there's guys playing. I'm like, I don't know who this person is.
Yes.
And then one of the guys up there, because I was at Bally's during the men's game, and they're like, oh, he was with the Spurs. And I was like, is he still with the Spurs? I don't remember this kind of heavy set France guy playing. And
oh, Yabusele?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know this dude at all. And they're like, I think he failed in the NBA and is already back overseas. Mm. So, like, but he's a stud player on France. Nobody else has to deal with that. Halliburton, Tatum, whoever it is. Like, there's guys that are, like, studs on their team, all-stars in the league, and they can't play on their national team. They are on the team, which is an accomplishment in its own.
The women's soccer team kind of had that a little bit as their, is it manager? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Their manager, she was like, I don't really know all of them so well yet, so I'm going with what I know. And she didn't make a lot of substitutions throughout the tournament. But they're stock full of talent too on their way to another gold.
So I did get to watch all of the men's. Yes. Well, I shouldn't say all of it because then I was on pregame, so I missed like the end of the first half. And then when we got off of pregame for game one of the Yankees game for the doubleheader, it was early on in the third quarter. So I saw most of it, super invested. We were cheering up there. That was a great game.
Wemby was looking good.
When did the women's game happen?
Yesterday morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Okay, so I was probably watching church. I didn't go to church yesterday. So, yeah.
In fact.
So I didn't even know it was on. I mean, I knew that they were supposed to play that day. I wasn't invested at all. I don't even know who's on the team. So I didn't watch any of it, but I saw there was a 1-point win. That's why I asked you guys this morning, hey, was it close? Was it like France had
Did you not see the very last play?
I haven't seen a second.
Wait, do you want a highlight of the last play?
Yeah, do you have the last play?
Give me one moment.
Okay, yes. So it was a very competitive game most of the way. It was kind of similar for a big chunk of the men's game, I thought. But, I mean, France had a shot time and again. It was a one-possession game down the stretch. And Asia Wilson, who I think most people accept as the best women's basketball player on the planet, she was playing phenomenally. She had 21 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocks. I want to tell you about Kalia Copper for just one second. I believe it's Copper.
Kalia. Kalia, there you go.
After the game, they asked about Copper, who scored 10 of her 12 points in the fourth quarter. And Asia Wilson just goes, hey, how would you describe in one word Copper's game? And she goes, that bitch.
That's two words.
She just walked off. Yeah. And I was just like, or she kind of like appreciated the moment. And then she walked away. I thought it was freaking phenomenal. The crowd, as you can guess, was very anti. Well, they were pro France.
That was the coolest part about both games. Both games were home games for the opponent. And the U.S. had their opportunity to, like, that's why Steph was doing what he was doing. Like, that's why everybody was going so insane for him on the bench, because they knew he's in somebody else's stadium. He's in somebody else's country telling them, I'm here for you.
Yes. And so the United States went out ahead, and then there's a couple free throws that could have put it away, but didn't. It's 67-64, and France has, I don't know, like 3.5 seconds-ish. To do something, and this is how it played out.
Kalia Copper has been Kalia Gold today. No timeouts here. Johannes up ahead. It's Williams. That was a two. Banked it in. A two ball. And the United States is going to claim gold for the 8th consecutive Olympics.
So Williams,
half a foot over.
Williams made an incredible shot at the buzzer, but she was trying to fake out her defender. And in doing so, she could not stop her momentum from stepping on the line. And she knew, like, as soon as she took the shot, it went in, and there was a couple pockets that were going crazy, but she knew. She was like, I stepped on the line, and that's what made it a 1-point game. But that would have, to Corey's point, you're half a foot away from that thing going to overtime. It was a very exciting game.
Yeah, for some reason my brain was telling me that there were fouls on that and that she was getting shots on top of it, and like,
oh,
and I was like,
goodness.
What's going on here? Because I just saw, I think it was the French coach. I saw him going 2-3, and I was like, oh my gosh, how many shots is she getting? Because I just walked in. That was a really awesome moment. It could have been a longer day right there.
That was the 61st straight win in the Olympics for the U.S. women's basketball team. They have won every gold medal since not taking it home in 1992 against Barcelona. They have won the gold medal 8 straight times. It is mind-boggling, and I have to admit, when I was like watching the medal count and I'm getting really invested about getting the most golds, I absolutely just chalk that up as an automatic gold. And I know France is like, hey, we got stuff that we're trying to accomplish. So when the game was so close, I thought, oh man, if we lose this game, this feels like the most dominant team that there is in all of Olympic team sports.
And I know that really for you, that really messes up the medal count if they lost that, because
I
saw the ultimate ending here.
Disproportionately sad earlier that morning when the U.S. women's volleyball team lost to Italy, because I was like, oh, we needed that. Every gold medal count. Like, Like it's actually going to impact my life whatsoever.
The global economy.
Yeah. Like, look out. Here it comes. But NBC Sports is saying that this is the first time there has ever been a tie for the most gold medals at the Summer Olympics, which I didn't realize.
The world is catching up.
Yeah. In the history of the Olympics?
In the history of the Summer Olympics. Now, I think in the Winter Olympics, there are fewer events. And so perhaps that's been the case. But yeah, first tie for most gold medals in the history of the Summer Olympics. And the difference ended up being, well, you could argue the difference was the United States winning that basketball game. Or you could argue the difference was the United States women's volleyball team losing to Italy.
Because that the women's basketball game was the final event of, of this Olympiad.
So you had to win it in order to do that.
Or you could argue that if the high jumper would have just said, you know what? I'll take the gold.
Okay.
I'll take the tie.
Was that the one that took? I was like, this is like Nate Robinson dunk competition. Just.
It did
either
take a
make
while,
the
yes.
dunk or just say it's over.
It did take a minute, and watching that was kind of excruciating. Honestly, he wasn't the favorite in that competition. There were many other jumpers that were already considered favorites there, but he had an opportunity. He's like, no. I'm going for the gold.
Oh,
I'm not settling.
But Shelby McEwen says that is not how it played out.
What do you mean?
He said it was the other guy. This is what he told the Washington Post. He said it was the other guy who came to him and said, I want to jump.
Okay.
And so because of that, he goes, I'll jump. He goes, I got kind of fatigued. I maybe would have shared it with him. But he said, I maybe would have shared it with him for sure, which definitely feels like, oh my God, I was so freaking tired. I would have shared it with you. And he goes, but I agreed to it and it was all good. But McEwen said, no. It was his opponent who's like, hey, I want to jump. And he was like, okay.
All right, fine. That's the way it's going
to
be.
I know, but, and I understand that, but I have to admit, at that moment, I think I would be like, hey, we don't cut the gold medal in half. We both get a gold medal. All right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they both get a gold medal. So just take that.
Are you you've spent all this time to share a gold medal with somebody else?
But you get a full one.
Because you're going
to
quit?
I don't have to. Who is?
You're tired. You're a little tired.
When you tell that story in future years,
yeah.
Who's looking up the outcome of the 2024 Olympic high jump to see what else happened? I have the gold medal. That's all they need to know.
What if they make you, every time you like talk about it, say, I'm a co-gold medalist.
Cold gold
then
medalist.
I'm jumping.
How tough would it be for a medal maker to make half a gold, half a silver? That it's like if you
house
tie.
House divided.
Yeah, like if you tie, there, your medal is half gold and half silver, and then they play half of your national anthem and then play the other half of the other person's
it's
national
like,
anthem.
Okay, can you see?
You know the half mark of it.
Which part of ours do you want? Do you want the back half? Because that's where the best is.
Yeah,
the best part
agreed,
is.
Agreed.
Great.
Now, a couple of other notes for you.
Would say I'm not sharing a gold medal with somebody.
This I would have. I can only imagine. I'm just tired thinking about it.
You just want the gold. That's
hell
all you're
yeah,
thinking.
Dude.
Land of the Free says I can make whatever decision I want, Corey.
Good point.
Hey.
This is the third straight Olympics.
Don't tell me how to medal.
Both the United States 4x400 meter teams have won gold. For the women, it has now been more than 30 years since they didn't win a gold medal in the 4x400. So you can look at the 4x400 women's relay on the track and the women's basketball team as these are the most dominant entities in the Olympics. Also, the Chinese diving team. They're pretty damn dominant as well.
I don't think that they're allowed to splash. I feel like their splashes, they have an agreement that splashes don't exist when they jump into the water.
That is a fact, dude. They go into the water like feathers. Just whoop.
They won all 8 of the gold medals. And the one that was close in an article I was reading from the AP said it was a decidedly un-China-like performance. And I was like, but he still won.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, it was closer than you would expect.
Yeah.
So it's like USA basketball when we're like, you got a gold, but it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. The watching them though, there's so many times when you watch, Mike always talks about you can't will yourself in a lot of sports to just go do something. watching the Chinese team dive looked like they just willed themselves to be better than everybody else, though.
It's true.
Because other people, they're hitting the board, they're leaned out over things, then all of a sudden you can see their splash. They're overcompensating for things just because it's a big moment. China looked like they didn't even realize they were there. They were just like, no, this is just what we do on a daily basis.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashak.
So power rankings are out.
Oh, you dear. Think
the Rangers are on it?
Yes.
All right, next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There goes Leody. 2-0 pitch. That's hit deep to left field. Going back is Verdugo. He's looking up, and that one is history. A two-run homer for Carson Kelly. It's his eighth of the year. It is his first as a Ranger. This is now an 8-6 Yankees lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashak.
All right, you know what? I'm going to start off with that highlight before I get to power rankings and the Rangers' really bad situation for the future. So doubleheader, and then after the doubleheader, they're like, yeah, Carson Kelly, you're going to be the starting catcher on Sunday. Well, it's because there's a left-handed pitcher, and I know Jonah Himes is, no, it's the right-handed pitcher. You're just going to start on Sunday. I think it's 50-50 at best now for Jonah Heim the rest of the way. I think they're going to actually see if Carson Kelly can maybe be their everyday catcher. Not every day, like, there's no such thing as an everyday catcher. You could even look at Adley Rutschman. He's the best, like, offensive catcher for the most part in the game. And, like, but I think it's 50-50. I think that when they traded for Carson Kelly, where Jonah Heim's numbers were and the way that they're going, it's going to be interesting on who the catcher of the Texas Rangers is in 2025. Or I think that in a perfect world, it's 50-50 that Carson Kelly and Jonah Heim are both here and they're sharing the catching duties in the future. But I believe Carson Kelly's a free agent.
Is it? He is. But is it weird that I keep thinking back to how upset, I'll just speak for myself, I was that Jonah Heim was not listed as one of the top 10 catchers. And then you see right the now, season play out and you're like,
yeah, they had it right.
Okay.
They knew. Like, I'm going to be honest. MLB didn't go off of. Now, it says right now. And you're like, hey, right now he won the gold glove. Right now he's the World Series champ. But they were looking at it, and MLB.com, their voters on the top 10 catchers right now, thought, we get what Jonah Heim did. We don't believe in Jonah Heim.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest, because it was, he's not a top 10 catcher after what he accomplished last year. Starting all-star catcher in the American League, throwing that on his resume too. And Major League Baseball said, no, there's 10 guys that we know are better than him.
And now he's not necessarily even the best guy on his team at that position.
Yeah. And I mean, offensively, Carson Kelly's having a better offensive year. Not by a lot, but he is.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at this, and obviously Jonah Heim will not be on, if he wasn't on top 10 last year, he ain't going to be on it this year. So I look at just that highlight and the decision on Sunday to go with Carson Kelly over Jonah Heim. I don't know. Tonight he hit a home run. Doesn't he stay in the lineup? Yeah. It'll be interesting at about 2 o'clock today when the lineup comes out. It might be Carson Kelly starting again today off of hitting a home run yesterday and being an offensive producer, or maybe it is Jonah Heim. And then on Tuesday, it's Carson Kelly. And on Wednesday, it's Jonah Heim. And on Friday, I think they have a day off. Maybe they don't. No, I don't think they do. On Thursday, it might be Carson. Maybe it's just every other day. I don't know how Bochy's going to do it. But at best for Jonah Heim, it looks like you're in a 50-50 situation here. Well, all right. Let's go to the power rankings and what I teased. So that's just the catching situation for the Rangers. Right now, the Rangers, I'm not going to have you guess, but it's at the lowest it's ever been, and I don't know if it's ever going to trend in a positive way the rest of the season.
Can I guess anyway?
Go ahead.
25.
Close.
23.
It's 22, so it's not as bad as you thought. I will give you the teams that they say are lower. It does not have their overall season record. The Nationals are 23. Their season high is 20. Their season low is 27.
Okay.
It does give me where their high and low has been. The Tigers. It does have their season high was 7. I had to be early in the year. Their season low is 24. They're at 24 right now. The Blue Jays, season high 8, season low 25. A's, season high 20, season low 30. Angels, season high 24, season low 28. So they've been at the bottom most of the year. Rockies, 27 and 29 right now. They're 28. They've been at the lowest. And Marlins, season high 23, season low 30. They're at 29. And the White Sox, their high was 28.
All year, that's the highest they've been?
On their power rankings. They're 30, and they'll stay at 30 the rest of the year. So they'll be at 30. Probably the Marlins will be at 29, I think, the rest of the way. And the Rockies will probably be at 28 the rest of the way. When I go to Tankathon, Rangers, they have the 6th overall pick right now in the draft before the lottery. They are a half a game... Right now, sorry, they're one game better than Toronto, and they're 1.5 games better than Washington. I do believe there's a real possibility when we get to September 29th and the season ends, I do think there's a real possibility the Rangers have the 4th worst record in Major League Baseball in the lottery system. Chicago and Oakland are out. By the way, Oakland has 50 wins. The Rangers have 55. I will say I think the Rangers end up with a better record than Oakland.
But the fact that we have to have you think added to that is concerning.
Oakland's better than everybody thought.
The Angels have 52 wins. The Rangers have 55. I still think the Rangers will have a better record than the Angels at the end of the year. But it's only think.
Yeah.
Not that I know. It's only that I think. Right now, the Rangers have 55 wins. Toronto and Washington have 54. Toronto made trades to kind of unload on their team. So there's a possibility that Toronto really struggles in September. Washington is an up-and-coming team.
Yeah.
Washington has young players getting better. The Rangers' only young player is Wyatt Langford.
And Evan Carter.
He's not going to play.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is in 2024, there's the possibility that Wyatt Langford improves in August, September. But, I mean, I guess there's a possibility that Josh Young, who's barely played, improves because he hasn't really done anything this year.
Leody?
No.
Duran? Duran's a weird thing, man. Leody is kind of what he is, though.
So, now let me get to the Rangers in general. So, Max Scherzer is coming back home for further evaluation. I don't know if he's going to pitch the rest of the season, to be honest. He might be done for his career. But wow. It's, I mean, he is 40.
Yeah.
Like he had an, he's an easy Hall of Famer. He's top 10 in strikeouts all time.
I'm sorry. I thought you said that about Evaldi. My apologies. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. No, Evaldi will pitch.
Yeah.
In his career, Evaldi's going to pitch more. I'm not sure Max Scherzer does.
Yeah.
Evaldi. Now let's get to him. They're skipping him. But I remember last year after July 18th when he started against Tampa Bay, they're like, hey, we're going to skip him a start. And then September 3rd or 4th, he came back. They're going to skip him. I'm not sure if he pitches anytime soon. So he's not pitching against Boston. It will be Mally tonight. It'll be Urania on Tuesday. And they think maybe Dunning, who pitched yesterday, but they think Dunning might be the starting pitcher on Wednesday.
This might be a question for another day then. And if you want to discuss it another day, yeah, that's fine. What does his future and market look like then? Because remember we talked about like, hey, maybe you won't get the vesting option because everyone will be like, hey, I want to try my hand at real free agency. But now when you see him hurt and slowed down again, what's the market for Evaldi going
to
be?
I think for teams that feel like they have a chance to win it all, I think that he'll get a 3-year max. Like that'll be the most years. I think it'll be probably a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
But if you're Evaldi, I don't think he's going to get the vest for 20.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to pitch enough innings. I think he's probably going to miss 2 starts, if not 3 here. But I think a lot of teams that were very interested in him, if the Rangers decided to trade him, will be very, I think the Boston Red Sox will be very, 2 years, $36 million. That'll be my guess. Okay. Maybe 2 years, 40.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, guys that are number 5 starters get $15 to $16 million. That's the issue with the Rangers. If you can't develop pitching, you have to spend at least $100 million just on a 5-man rotation.
Yeah.
And if you only have a $200 million budget and I'm spending $100 million on 5 guys, that makes it really tough to field a really good team. You have to be able to develop starting pitching, and 2 of your guys have to be making a league minimum or close to, and the other guy has to be kind of pre-arbitration eligible. And then your 3 other guys, hopefully one is like arbitration eligible, and then you're signing 2 free agents. Like that's what you want to be. I go back to the Rangers when they were 2010, 2011. Derek Holland making no money. Matt Harrison making very little money. And what I mean by
Colby Lewis wasn't making very much money.
Colby Lewis was making $2 to $3 million. Dollars. And then CJ Wilson wasn't a free agent yet. When he hit free agency in 2000, after 2011, if I have my year right, in 2012, he went and signed a big contract with the Angels. But you still had him under arbitration rules in 2010 and 2011. So there's 4 of your starters right there. Rookies or close to rookies in Holland, Harrison. And then you had Colby Lewis signed from Japan making a very small salary, and then $6 to $8 million, I'm guesstimating, on CJ Wilson because he was pre-free agent.
Yeah.
And so you only had to have one guy that you had to have free agency. So, I mean, you look at this now, and if you can't develop Jack Leiter and you can't develop Cole Wynn and you can't develop Owen White, and hopefully you do develop Kumar Rocker. It's very early in his development, but he'll probably be on the team next year.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to be able to develop those guys into starting pitchers in the major leagues, then I have to go out and sign John Gray's and Nathan Eovaldi's and Andrew Heaney's and stuff like that. I know I'm out of time. It was very interesting listening yesterday on 1080, the post-game show with Jared Sandler, and maybe I was listening Saturday too, but Sandler brings up a point that maybe I will bring up either today or later in the week, that maybe the Rangers go down a Los Angeles Angels late August.
It. What? Yeah,
and that they put it. Certain free agents on waivers.
Well, you can't do it during Mike Likes It because you already promised us that you're telling us about the new Cowboys coach.
I'm
going to
talk about the future of the Cowboys head coaching situation and a theory that I think is just that needs to be like ESPN would eat this up. I'm telling you, ESPN would do an hour, if not 3 hours.
You know who it is?
Oh, I know who it is.
If they listen to me,
Steve DeBerg.
It's not Steve DeBerg.
Why not? ESPN should run with this, and they will be like, this is the most unbelievable theory Mike Bacsik has, and we need to run with this because the ratings will be out of the wazoo.
I'll send him a tweet.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!